Penguin Random House Audio presents Dear Girls, intimate tales, untold secrets, and advice for living your best life, with an afterword written and read by Justin Hakuta. This is the author, Ali Wong. Dedicated to my father, the incomparable Adolphus Wong, who taught me unconditional love and how to give zero fucks. Miss you so. Preface. Why I'm writing this book. Dear girls, I have a secret that I never wanted anyone to know. And no, it's not that I once slept with a homeless man. Everybody already knows about that. Let me explain. When I got this book deal soon after the release of my first stand-up special, Baby Cobra, a deep panic set in. I immediately regretted signing the deal because I was terrified of the task at hand. I almost quit conservatively 80 times over the course of a year. A month before the first draft was due, I was moments away from giving the advance money back to the editor with a batch of balloons reading, "I quit." Yes, I'd been scared of the workload of writing a book, but really I was more concerned that once I wrote it and published it, everyone would find out my secret, one that only my family and closest friends knew. For 3 years, I was on the writing staff of the ABC sitcom Fresh Off the Boat. Every year, a producer-writer named Matt Kuhn would run a quiz before our annual staff trip to Vegas. It was meant to get us all excited about our brief escape from the fluorescent-lit office full of dry erase boards, PC monitors, and bald white men in cargo shorts. One of my favorite questions was, Bronson Pinchot, the actor who played Balky Bartokomous from Perfect Strangers, dead or alive? Spoiler, alive. The quiz was a mix of inside jokes and true hardcore trivia. One of the final questions in my second year on staff was, how many miles to the moon? According to Google, it's about 238,900 miles. Every other staff member guessed somewhere in that ballpark. My answer was 5 billion miles. The looks on my coworkers' faces when they saw my terrifying guess, written on paper so there could be no mistaking it, are seared into my memory. One person took off her glasses and scream-laughed into an IKEA throw pillow for about 5 straight minutes. Another person just stared at me, plastered with a look of deep, sincere confusion as to how somebody so dense could have managed to graduate from college and get a job, let alone perform the basic functions of life such as remembering to breathe and wipe from front to back. It was like a bomb had exploded in the room and people suddenly suspected that there was a wizard operating my brain for my entire life, and they caught a moment when he was on lunch break. Some of my peers thought the answer was so ridiculous that I was just trying to be funny. But I wasn't trying to be funny. I was legitimately trying to win the quiz and get the cash prize of $500 to spend immediately upon landing in Vegas on buffets and VIP tickets to Magic Mike Live. That day, my coworkers found out my secret. I'm a fucking idiot. There are some major and wildly concerning gaps in my knowledge and abilities. I have a very hard time distinguishing an Australian person from a British person unless I get a good look in their mouth. No matter how many times someone explains it to me, I will never understand when to appropriately use whom instead of who. It's simply beyond my capabilities, sadly. My nephew beat me at chess in 3 moves when I was 30 and he was in preschool. Then I beat him in checkers by cheating. I over-celebrated and gloated, and he gave me a look that said, "Wow, good for you," and waddled to the child's potty in his room to go poo. I do not know the difference between a crocodile and an alligator, or a turtle and a tortoise, or a sandwich and a panini. I believe it sounds like the ocean when you hold certain seashells up to your ear, because you can take the seashell out of the ocean, but you can't take the ocean out of a seashell. I know that's not scientifically correct, but I'm too lazy to learn the real explanation behind the magic. I'm still not sure if Pluto is a planet or not, and I don't understand what a Secretary of State does or why it's called a secretary. Do they arrange FedEx pickups and have extramarital affairs with the state? When a friend recently texted me that R. Kelly had been indicted, I had to Google, what is the meaning of indicted? And so, with this published book, I was understandably afraid of the whole world knowing this. I confessed this to Sarah Dunn, author of The Arrangement and creator of the ABC sitcom American Housewife. She told me, "Just accept that you're not a genius." Once I told myself that, I was able to finally write. I felt so much better after my talk with her and got comfortable with the fact that I'm not Tolstoy. I'm not Salman Rushdie. Then I realized something better. Nobody expects me to be Salman Rushdie or even Padma Lakshmi. Hi, Padma, if you're reading. Love you on Top Chef. Quick fire queen. And in all honesty, Salman Rushdie is boring and very difficult for the average person, me, to get through without a teacher to guide one, me again, through all the dense writing and big words. Also, up until recently, when I'd hear his name, I thought he was a type of fish. I am not Maya Angelou. I am not Malcolm Gladwell. People shit on Dan Brown, and I'm no Dan Brown. Hell, I'm not even that fat mustache guy who faked his memoir and got yelled at by Oprah. I'm a stand-up comedian that's famous enough now to receive a free Nike tracksuit and get harassed for pictures when I go out to eat ramen. I'm a 5-foot-tall girl from the San Francisco Bay who has always loved making people laugh. I got a 1200 on my SATs. I'm your mother. I don't write fancy. I don't use words like facetious or effusive. I use words like doo-doo, caca, and punani. Once I embraced that, these letters were an absolute pleasure to write. The idea for this book is inspired mostly by a note from my father that began with "Dear Alexandra." He had left it for me in a sealed envelope before he passed away. He had been battling cancer and depression for a while, and he knew he was going to die soon. In it, he told me he loved me and promised I would have a great life. He thanked me for exercising with him in the park while he was sick and couldn't walk so well. I'm very grateful for the letter, but I wish he had written more about himself. There are so many questions I still have for him about how he overcame all the challenges in his youth and about the person he was before I was born. And so I wanted to leave something for you girls for when I die, besides a collection of oversized glasses for you to sell on eBay. These letters explore a lot of the topics I wished my father and I had discussed, and some I'm glad we didn't, to be honest. Then I figured, well, I should probably make money off of them if I'm going to spend all this time writing them. I didn't want to just leave you with my stand-up specials that feature me, pregnant with you, shouting all of my opinions and grody stories at strangers. This book is also meant to address a lot of the questions I get asked by young people, like, what is it like to be an Asian American woman in entertainment? How do you balance family and career? What is the key to being so tall and fabulous and knowledgeable about distances between planets? Two things. First, do not read this book until you are over 21. You should not be allowed to know these inappropriate things about me if you can't even buy beer yet. Second, if you have any questions after reading this book, you can always ask me, because I'm your mother and I plan on living until I'm 200. Also, because I'm your mother, most of this book will probably horrify you and you won't want to ask me about it. That might be a catch-22. I'm not Googling it. And if anyone else has questions, you have to wait until I get another book deal. Monetizing answers to frequently asked questions is my new business model. Chapter 1. How I Trapped Your Father. Dear girls, your dad is the, if we are divorced by the time you read this, please skip to the next sentence, best, but I didn't just find him overnight. In the fall of 2009, I had been living in New York City for a year and had been unlucky when it came to love and casual sex. Well, let's just get right to it. I dated a series of men who had issues getting it up. It felt like a curse. 5 guys in a row lost their boners in the middle of getting busy. Part of me blamed the Raynaud's disease, a condition that was passed on to me by my father. I have extremely poor circulation to my hands and feet, to the point where, in the cold, they will turn blue and feel like pain icicles. So, especially in the New York fall or winter time, my bare hands, much like the hands of Rogue from the X-Men, could suck the life out of a man's erect penis. After the first 2 guys that I hooked up with in New York City went soft on me, I grew extremely self-conscious of my White Walker fingers. By the 3rd time I started making out with a new guy, I made sure to simultaneously warm my hands up by fiercely rubbing them together and breathing into them like a homeless character in a theater production. next to a papier-mâché trash can fire. I felt...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?